It was perhaps naive of me, but I hadn't expected trouble this close to Gallifrey. We had touched down on the planet Reeve the previous evening, too late to sort out the refueling and supplies we so desperately needed. So now, just after daybreak, my assistant Dr. Foster and I ventured out from the spaceport into the maze of Reeve's refineries. Reeve is a service world. I am told that it was once a paradise of purple forest. But then its natural fuel reserves were discovered. Now Reeve is a tangle of storage tanks, rusting pipes and refinery buildings, with stacks topped with plumes of gas flames. All very industrial, functional and a little run down. Much like my own ship, the Traken. Dr. Foster pointed down a narrow alley crowded with fuel drums to a likely service depot. He had taken a stroll last night to scout around the area. We had a little money, but mostly we relied on the goodwill we'd encountered on so many worlds. The Traken is a mobile medical station. Apart from Dr. Foster and myself, it is manned by robot nurses, the Sisters. We offer our services wherever we go. The payment is usually in kind, but freely given. Fuel, food, medical supplies, an occasional transfer of galactic credit. So, I know that there is still good in the galaxy, despite how it feels with the time war pressing in on us. We passed one wall of a warehouse which had been plastered in garish graffiti. It was the outline of a man, tall and commanding, in what I recognized to be a Time Lord ceremonial headdress. On his chest had been daubed two heart symbols, and each was slashed through with a blood-red cross. Dr. Foster pointed it out to me. "There's no love lost on the Time Lords here, Controller Nissa," he said. We walked on down the narrow alley to the fuel depot. That's when it exploded. Finish present Doctor Who Short Trips. A Heart on Both Sides by Rob Nisbet. Read by Sarah Sutton. Dr. Foster and I were flung to the ground as the shockwave stormed along the alley. Somehow he landed on top of me, shielding me from the chunks of masonry and metalwork that smashed down around us. The fuel depot had gone, and in its place a boiling cloud of fire expanded into the sky. The explosion left a horrible momentary silence, as if the whole planet paused in stunned surprise. Then came the cries and the shouting. The streets were suddenly full of people, rushing to help or rushing away in panic. "Are you hurt, Nissa?" Dr. Foster helped me up. Considerably taller than me, he squinted through the smoke as dust fell on his dark hair and shoulders. "There'll be people injured," he said. "They need us." There were so many casualties, we had to open the Traken's loading bay doors and lower the ramp to let them in safely. The Reevians wheeled in or carried their injured fellows, milling about, calling for help. There seemed to be blood everywhere, lacerations and livid burns. Fortunately, the Sisters aren't programmed to be squeamish. Each casualty was scanned by the senior sister, Citron, in triage mode. She was a tall, cylindrical column, gleaming white and bearing the green crescent of a medical appliance. She emitted a burble of beeps as she communicated her instructions to the subsisters. She used her eerily feminine voice only so that Dr. Foster and I would know what was going on.
"3 broken ribs. Crush trauma to left arm. Allocate to tele ward. Bed 4. Priority 6.
A subsister extended a clamp to grip the trolley on which a man lay, his arm a pulp of shredded flesh. As he was wheeled away, another trolley instantly took his place, the ramp filling up behind him and a crowd behind that. I turned to Dr. Foster.
"There's too many of them," I said. "We don't have the supplies."
Dr. Foster looked out across the spaceport to the town and the ugly thread of smoke still rising from the explosion site.
There's a hospital in the next settlement, I believe. If we could get word to them.
Already done!
The curt response had come from a woman with severely cropped hair wearing dusty medical fatigues. She struggled up the ramp, supporting a young boy, barely a teenager, with a wound to his forehead. Her face was twisted with fury.
Only the Time Lords would be so heartless as to attack where there are children.
The boy was taken from her by a group of men at the loading bay doors.
His name's Yona, apprentice refinery worker.
He was laid carefully on a trolley and wheeled in front of Sister Citron for her attentions. The woman introduced herself.
Dr. Isherwood,
she said, and I recognise now her local accent.
I run that hospital you mentioned. I've arranged for a truck of supplies. It'll be here as soon as possible.
I quickly introduced myself and my assistant. There wasn't time for much else. The wards were filling up fast. Sister Citron had allocated priorities and we needed all the help we could get. I asked Dr. Isherwood to join me and Foster in overseeing the treatments. The next few hours were horrendous. Despite our best efforts, several lives were lost, but many more were saved thanks to the medications which arrived from Isherwood's hospital. Finally, the influx of patients ceased, and the sisters glided about monitoring and dispensing medications. I just wanted to slump into a chair. Dr. Foster must have seen my fatigue. He led me to a bench and motioned for Dr. Isherwood to join us, which she did gratefully. I managed a smile for the local doctor.
Thank you, Dr. Isherwood,
I said.
Not just for the supplies, but all your help today.
Isherwood didn't smile back.
I'm not going to stand by watching my people suffer. Not when there's a Time Lord saboteur at large.
Dr. Foster shifted in his seat.
You said something earlier about Time Lords being heartless. Do you think they're behind this?
Isn't it obvious? She replied bitterly. For a race with two hearts, they show little compassion.
She gazed over at the beds and the administering sisters.
I suppose you don't know about the threats from Gallifrey.
Threats?
I was surprised.
Gallifrey is usually so passive.
Isherwood rubbed a hand over her chest as if absently massaging the right side.
Not when they're at war. This planet, Reeve, is a humble service world. We provide supplies and fuels to anyone who needs it. Anyone, she stressed. No matter which side they may take in the Time War. But we are, apparently, strategically close to Gallifrey, and their High Council has decreed that they have our services to themselves.
So they've made threats?
Oh, the government here has tried to keep it quiet, but everyone knows. We are to supply the Time Lords exclusively. Or...
She waved a hand at the sea of medical beds.
I fear this is only the beginning.
I admit I was struggling with this information. I had known a Time Lord very well. Travelled with him for a while. He would have been appalled at the thought of any conflict.
Reeve has one natural defence as far as the Time Lords are concerned. As well as the fuel, this world is a natural source of Praxis gases. Time Lords have an allergic reaction to them. There are treatments, but they tried to avoid prolonged exposure. Good thing, too. I wouldn't want to be a Time Lord on Reeve.
Dr. Foster shifted again uneasily.
Are hostilities really that bad between you and Gallifrey?
He asked.
I'll show you hostile.
Isherwood looked around her as if slightly embarrassed, then shrugged.
We're all medical people here, she said.
She unbuttoned her tunic and pulled the material aside to show a deep, vivid scar on her right breast.
I'm a medic here on Reeve. That makes me a target.
She gave a mirthless snort.
The Time Lord who attacked me was probably aiming for my heart, but he got the wrong side.
That's terrible. And just because Reeve wants to remain neutral.
Nyssa is the same.
Dr. Foster gave me his approving look.
Neutral, I mean. If a Time Lord were injured, she'd have him treated here the same as any Reevians.
That's quite a metaphor, actually. Nyssa may not be a Time Lord, but she has a heart on both sides. The robot sisters are impartial. The Trakan, under her guidance, will treat everybody.
Dr. Isherwood buttoned up her tunic. Her face was grim.
I don't think you'll find many Reevians who are that forgiving, she said.
It didn't take long for Dr. Isherwood's words to be proved correct. She stayed with us into the evening, ensuring that the patients were settled enough to be left in the sisters' care. And in the welcome quiet, we heard a commotion from outside. I had Dr. Foster open the cargo doors. From the spaceport, the town was spread out before us. It was in darkness, illuminated only by the gas plumes from the refinery chimneys. But winding through its streets was a snake of fire. Fuel was plentiful on Reeve, and a crowd marched with gas flame torches, shouting and waving placards. I couldn't distinguish their cries at this distance, but the placards were clear enough. That double heart symbol again, crossed through in red. I was shocked. They really hate the Time Lords that much?
Do you blame them? Dr. Isherwood snapped back. After today, after what you've seen?
Beside me, Dr. Foster was looking thoughtful.
Gallifrey threatens, then destroys a refinery, he mused. Small fry acts of war for the High Council. But then, I suppose they want Reeve relatively unharmed.
He was straining to see into the crowd. In amongst the fire and shouting, large metal tanks were being dragged along the streets.
What are they doing?
He asked. Isherwood gave a twisted grin.
They're releasing Praxis gas. Someone planted explosives in that fuel depot. Praxis gas should flush out or even kill the Time Lord saboteur.
She took a deep breath.
They say this is what Reeve smelt like before it became so industrialized.
I found myself nodding. The gas had a clean smell, like a forest. Dr. Foster choked. He looked down at me, surprise and horror in his eyes. He clutched at his throat and his breath rasped again. Isherwood was staring at him too. Her face was grim, her mouth firmly set in a snarl. She ignored Dr. Foster's labored breathing, twisting me round to face her.
You brought a Time Lord to Reeve!
Her tone was so accusing that I stammered at her.
I didn't know.
Foster collapsed to his knees on the loading ramp. His eyes were pleading, each breath a short gasp as if there were no air around him. Isherwood sat at the top of the ramp.
Praxis poisoning. Very nasty. Won't be long now.
I knelt down beside Foster, loosening the black cravat around his neck.
He can't breathe. Isherwood, what should I do?
I saw a flicker of concern in her eyes, but she said nothing. I yelled at the nearest sister.
Sister Citron, oxygen for Dr. Foster, now.
The tall column glided forward, a flexible face mask extruding from a panel in her side.
An halogen reaction to Praxis.
Her overtly feminine voice sounded incongruously seductive.
There is a known plant-based antitoxin. Nearest planet where this cure may be obtained is...
Her mechanisms burbled a communication with the Trakhan's mainframe.
Reeve,
she announced. I turned to Isherwood.
You said there was a treatment.
She didn't move.
Yes, he's a Time Lord,
I snapped close to tears.
But surely after helping your people today?
I saw that concern in her eyes again.
A bluff, perhaps. Time Lords are known to be devious. He could have set that explosive charge himself.
Foster lay limp and unconscious, but through the mask he was breathing.
Please,
I pleaded.
You can't know that he's responsible.
Isherwood breathed in again the clear forest scent of the gas and relented.
Any of the vegetation on Reeve will ease the reaction,
she said, her voice grating with reluctance.
Plants here metabolize the gas. It turns them purple. Eating or imbibing the plants in this state will provide the cure he needs.
Dr. Foster lay on a bed in a room of his own. I'd placed him at the furthest point in the Trakhan from the Reevian treatment area. Isherwood and I watched as Sister Citron monitored the vegetable extraction that she released into a feed in Foster's arm. He no longer needed the mask. His breathing was steady, though he remained unconscious.
I didn't know he was a Time Lord,
I said quietly. Somehow I felt guilty. Even though there was no evidence to link Foster with the explosion, I couldn't help thinking of the stroll he had taken the night before, scouting for a suitable fuel depot. Isherwood seemed calmer now.
How did you two meet?
She asked.
Another world, caught up in the Time War. I'd received signals appealing for medical aid and landed there. That's what I do.
And this Dr. Foster just joined you?
He told me that he went to Gloucester, an asteroid medical academy, apparently. I had no reason to doubt him. He was convincing in his detail of Gloucester's heavy rainfall and endless puddles. He had no ties to the planet where we met. He had a practical medical knowledge and he volunteered to join me. That was several months ago.
Isherwood's words were scornful, but she looked at me with some sympathy.
Several months is nothing to a Time Lord acting undercover. Of course, there's a simple test you could have made.
I had a stethoscope around my neck. She placed the diaphragm against her own chest so that I could hear her heart. Then she placed the stethoscope against Foster's chest. There was no denying his Time Lord double beat.
Not all Time Lords are violent,
I reasoned.
I know that to be true.
Foster's hearts were beating strongly. He seemed to be responding well to the medication, and Isherwood prescribed rest. We badly needed rest ourselves. I invited Isherwood to stay in the Traken overnight. When she agreed, I couldn't help but wonder if it was to keep a watchful eye on this patient. I confess, I didn't know what to think of Foster. Why hadn't he mentioned to me before that he was a Time Lord? We left him to Sister Citron's ministrations. In the darkness, lines of pulsing light traced their way across a screen built into the robot sister. Then it spoke.
I know that you have regained consciousness, Dr. Foster. How are you feeling?
The Time Lord sprang up in the bed, eyes suddenly open and lit by a stripe of light from the sister's screen.
Ah, true to your programming, Sister Citron. How are you feeling?
Standard opening question when switched into psychoanalytic mode.
How are you feeling?
Repeated the sister.
Shortage of breath and a pounding headache. Not bad, considering I've just been poisoned.
So Nyssa wants me psychoanalyzed. Does she really think I'm the saboteur?
Are you concerned about what Controller Nyssa thinks of you?
The Time Lord was impressed.
Oh, that's deep. For a machine, that's very probing.
I assume you have a patient confidentiality protocol built into your systems? The sister's voice became a notch more persuasive.
You are correct. It is impossible for me to relate more than an overall opinion on your state of mind. Is there something you would like to share with me? In confidence, Dr. Foster?
If you expect me to confess to setting the explosion, that's not going to happen.
Though it might be therapeutic to explain myself to someone. In confidence.
He swung his legs over the side of the bed and cleared his throat.
It all started, I suppose, with a rumour. So unfounded and vague a rumour that it was barely more than a whisper in a spaceport I was passing through. The implication was that a medical station had been destroyed by an explosive charge. I heard later that the station was named after its controller's homeworld. That's when I stopped inquiring. There was nothing concrete to link this rumour with the Traken, but it was a possibility.
Did you not seek any confirmation of the station's identity?
The sister prompted.
No, absolutely not. To know something as a fact would have made it a fixed point in space-time. I'm a Time Lord, as has been alarmingly demonstrated. I know these things. Before the destruction is confirmed, or recorded, or known as a fact, it is still indeterminate. It may not have happened. Indeed, it may never happen. Does that make sense?
There is logic to your reasoning.
So I slipped back in time, not far, just a few months for a planet of this size and standard rotations. I joined Nyssa. So if the Traken were threatened, I would be on hand to help. Nyssa is a good woman. She has more good in her than anyone else I have known. So I intended to protect her.
You and Controller Nyssa have met before.
Oh yes, though I didn't tell her that. I didn't tell her that I'm a Time Lord either. I've regenerated a further 3 times since she knew me. I didn't want her to feel she was in danger. The risk to the Traken was, in fact still is, potential rather than definite.
Do you think the explosion at the fuel depot makes an explosion here on the Traken more likely?
You have admirable logic, sister. It is the same method, destruction by explosive charge. I shall be extra vigilant. The rumour is still indeterminate. From any point of now, the future can change.
The Time Lord looked up at the faceless robotic column.
So, Sister Citron, what's your diagnosis?
I admit to being a Time Lord, undercover. But now that you've heard my motives, do you really think it was me who destroyed that fuel depot?
Subject to suitable verification, Dr. Foster, it is my opinion that you can be trusted.
A burble of communication sounded within the sister, and it revolved, turning towards the door. What's wrong? Asked the Time Lord.
Sub-Sister 4 reports a deterioration in the condition of some of the Relian patients.
Then I think, Sister Citron, that we are needed. I was woken by alarms, medical alerts, several of them from the Relian treatment area. I ran down the main corridor meeting Dr. Isherwood on the way. What's happening? She asked. I don't know yet. I pushed open the doors to Turlo Ward. Some disruption to the treatments. The ward was in gloom. The white columns of the sisters glided among the crowded beds, narrow spotlights shining out of them where they needed light. I rushed over to a concentration of sisters in one corner, next to a supplies room. Sub-Sister 4, what is the alarm? The sister expanded her spotlight, illuminating a young patient. I recognized the boy, Yona, that Isherwood had helped up the ramp yesterday morning.
There has been a sudden deterioration in this patient's condition,
said the sister's silky voice. She burbled a communication to two other sisters nearby. They too lit up other beds.
These patients too,
said Sub-Sister 4.
A local technical malfunction is likely.
I agreed that the conclusion was logical, but another explanation sprang to mind. Sabotage? I began to trace the medication feeds from the patients to a control box. A hatch in the side hung open, which gave access to a medication tank, and a cloudy stain swirled within it. Isherwood and I could see instantly that it had been contaminated.
The Time Lord!
No! I couldn't believe Dr. Foster would do this. He's in isolation. In Adric Ward, the other side of the station.
Are you sure of that?
Yona's eyes flickered open, and his hand suddenly reached out to grab Dr. Isherwood around the wrist. He was struggling to speak. His eyes shot desperately back and forth from my face to Isherwood's.
Time Lord,
he managed. Isherwood patted the hand that gripped her.
We know, she said. We have him under observation.
Sub-Sister 4 lit up a screen where a tracery of zigzag lines crept across a grid. They pulsed mauve, indicating a flagging heartbeat.
Increasing their medication only increases the detrimental effect,
she announced.
Stop!
I waved my arms at the sister.
The medication is contaminated! Withdraw the treatment!
I didn't know what to do for the best. The other two patients connected to the control box were ominously still. One after the other, the lines on their attendant sister's grids flattened and no longer pulsed.
Show me stats for Dr. Foster, I demanded. Adric Ward, bed 1.
The sister's display was blank.
Show me a visual.
The room was empty.
So now we know,
Isherwood growled.
He set the explosion. Now he's picking off the survivors.
Yona still gripped her arm.
No!
He said. That single word seemed to sap all his strength, and I knew he hadn't long.
More! No more!
Repeated Isherwood.
No more what?
Yona's young eyes met mine again, and I felt he was trying to convey so much with that pleading look.
Explosive! We hope not, said Isherwood.
And she threw me an angry glance as if this whole situation was somehow my fault. I activated a communication channel and my voice filled the Traken.
Dr. Foster is to be restrained. In fact, restrain any Time Lord found on the Traken. They are to be considered hostile.
Yona's hand let go of Isherwood's wrist and his eyes slipped from mine to stare blankly at the ceiling. Sister Citron was gliding along a corridor with the Time Lord jogging to keep up. Then the machine slowed, revolving as a hatch opened in its side.
Please remain still, Dr. Foster.
There was a hydraulic hiss from the hatch and a dart thudded into the corridor wall. The Time Lord backed away.
Now, Sister Citron, you shouldn't believe everything you hear on the intercom system. Hostile indeed. I thought you trusted me.
Please remain still, Dr. Foster, you may feel a slight sting.
Another dart hit the wall, narrowly missing the Time Lord's face. A tranquilizer? He asked.
I do not wish to harm you during your restraint. Please do not run.
Actually, this is doing nothing for my headache. Do you mind if I seek a second opinion? The Time Lord heard a burble of electronic communication as he ducked away, running around a corner straight into the path of another sister.
Please remain still, Dr. Foster,
said the sisters in unison, and fired their darts.
Ah! Just a slight, sting, you said.
The Time Lord crumpled to the floor. Dr. Isherwood and I disconnected Yona and the other two patients from the contaminated control box. The sisters dimmed their lights to a more respectful glow and trundled the beds away. Even in the near dark, I could see something like rage in Isherwood's eyes. Sister Citron appeared in the entrance to the ward, her spotlight shining ahead of her. Dr. Foster was strapped to her, hanging limply from thick canvas bands designed to prevent movement of his arms and legs. Dr. Isherwood immediately sprang forward. I realized with horror that something bright glinted in her hand. A scalpel. My blood ran cold as I realized what she intended to do.
No! Stop!
Isherwood spun round and glared at me, touching her left hand to her right breast.
Did the Time Lord who did this to me stop?
I knew that she was angry.
But that Time Lord wasn't Dr. Foster.
She was standing in front of Foster now, her blade held out towards him.
He is worse,
she said coldly, and waved her free hand over the beds in the darkened ward.
Look what he has done to my people!
I still couldn't imagine my assistant doing such a thing.
We don't know that, not for certain.
You are too kind-hearted, Nyssa. When his explosion didn't kill the Revians, he poisons their treatment. You heard what that poor boy said. Time Lord!
No more explosive, I murmured. They were his last words. He struggled to say them. Dr. Foster then raised his head and shook it experimentally.
Sister Citron, he announced, you've given me a monster hangover.
He tried to move against his restraints. Only his head was free, and his eyes locked onto the scalpel in Isherwood's hand.
Might I make an observation?
Lies and deviousness!
Isherwood brandished her blade.
Never trust a Time Lord!
I presume there have been more casualties and...
He squirmed against the canvas bands.
I presume I am accused? He pretends innocence!
Isherwood scoffed.
I was going to suggest... Yona's last words? No. Full stop. More explosive. It could be a warning. He saw something and that's why he was... silenced.
I didn't know what to believe anymore. Who could I trust? Foster had become more than an assistant to me. He was a colleague and a friend.
Do you mean...
I faltered, so he finished the thought for me.
There could be more explosives hidden on the Traken, possibly in the area where the latest casualties have occurred.
I waved for Subsister 4 to return to the corner of the ward.
Check, Sister, for any explosive or harmful materials.
Isherwood was practically shaking with rage.
See how he twists the words of the dead. He has you trusting him, fearing things that aren't there. Dispatch him! Be done!
Subsister 4 expanded her light.
Controller, there are explosives concealed in the supplies room.
My heart sank, and I stared at Dr. Foster in dismay. How did you know?
I didn't. I suspected, that's all. Nothing is ever certain until it happens.
I wanted to believe him. I really did. But his knowledge betrayed him.
Careful, Nyssa!
He called as I followed Subsister 4's searchlight. He sounded sincere, but I couldn't trust him anymore. I asked Dr. Isherwood to watch him. Left by themselves, the restrained Time Lord couldn't help staring at Isherwood's scalpel.
Would you please put that thing down?
He asked. Isherwood swiped the blade through the air between them.
All part of the act, Dr. Foster, as I'm sure you know.
Her voice became sing-song.
Dr. Foster went to Gloucester in a shower of rain. You may have deceived Controller Nyssa, but it is a foolish disguise. Why warn her of the explosives?
The Time Lord's eyes widened, suddenly wary.
You tell me, he said.
Don't toy with me, Foster, whoever you really are.
You're a Time Lord and you know about the explosives. Has the High Council sent you to save the Traken?
Her voice lowered.
I can see no strategic advantage in disrupting my work.
Your work? The Time Lord stared.
I have no strategic plan. I am acting to save Nyssa. I travelled back in time to make the destruction of the Traken less likely to happen.
Then you have a TARDIS concealed somewhere.
Isherwood looked up to the robot nurse.
Sister Citron, release Dr. Foster.
The canvas straps retracted into the sister. The Time Lord rubbed at his arms, but his eyes were locked on Isherwood.
Why release me?
He asked.
What are you really up to?
Controller Nyssa already believes you to be responsible for attacking the Reavians. And with you as scapegoat, I can maintain my Reavian persona unsuspected. I suggest you run!
I left Subsister 4 to deactivate the explosives and return to the main ward, to discover that Dr. Foster had somehow got free of Sister Citron's restraints. He and Dr. Isherwood were glaring at each other.
What's going on here?
I demanded.
Do you want to explain, Dr. Isherwood?
Said Foster.
Or shall I?
Isherwood still held the scalpel in her hand. Her mouth was firmly closed in a grim line.
Very well, said Foster, turning towards me. Nyssa, Dr. Isherwood is the saboteur. It was she who set the explosives both in the fuel depot and here on the Traken. She is the Time Lord agent, carrying out the High Council's threats to break the people here.
At first I thought that Foster was trying to deceive me somehow, but Isherwood was circling us both, holding out the knife.
But why would a Reavian attack her own people?
Isherwood swung the scalpel at me.
Don't associate me with those Reavian scum, she snapped.
My mind tried to adjust. I suddenly remembered the boy, Yona, gripping Isherwood's wrist and managing to say the word Time Lord. He must have seen her in the supplies room, and he tried to warn me. More explosive. I frowned at her in confusion.
But you're not a Time Lord.
It was Foster who answered.
The vegetation here can negate the praxis effects, and we've seen the scar on her chest. She had her right heart surgically removed to better pass as Reavian.
Foster turned to Sister Citron.
Sister, I believe Controller Nyssa commanded that any Time Lord was to be restrained.
Sister Citron revolved.
Please remain still, Dr. Isherwood.
A clamp telescoped out of her and plucked the scalpel from Isherwood's hand. There was a hiss as a tranquilizer dart was fired, but Isherwood had twisted away and the dart hit the wall. Dr. Foster leant towards her.
I suggest you run.
And she did. With a final contemptuous glare at us both, she ran from the ward. Sister Citron burbled a communication with the other sisters, and they glided in pursuit. They weren't fast enough, though. I heard later that Isherwood had last been spotted, still running between the pipes and refineries of Reeve's industrial maze. Dr. Foster didn't stay long after that. He told me that he had a TARDIS hidden away. Things were awkward between us. I'd had him hunted down and suspected him of appalling crimes. I apologized. He took it in good grace, saying that he was just passing through and was happy to have been of some help. I was still shocked that Gallifrey's High Council could have sanctioned such carnage to force Reeve's cooperation. Foster's pale blue eyes showed the disappointment he felt for his own race.
This time war, it's corrupting everything. I'm beginning to see only evil on both sides.
He smiled at me fondly.
You, however, always find the good in people, Nyssa.
And just then he reminded me so much of the Doctor, my Time Lord, that I'd travelled with before I began my medical work. He had a strange look, almost one of pride on his face.
Goodbye, Nyssa.
And then he kissed me. As he walked away, I held a hand tenderly to where he'd touched my cheek. He was totally different to that other Time Lord I'd known. My doctor would never have done that.